It's time for TY's 20 on WordPress Radio. I'm your host, Tyler Smith, and today we are dedicating the entire show to recapping the Indiana Pacers season and also previewing the offseason moves that are ahead for this team. And right from the tip, let's welcome in Chris Goff. Chris writes for IndySportsLegends.com and covers the Pacers on Twitter. You can follow him at PacersScribe. Chris, welcome back.
Hey, Tyler. Good to be with you.
Good to have you. Usually on the show, we have multiple topics discussed, but it's only fitting if the entire program today is about the Pacers. An incredible season for this franchise and for the fans. It was really amazing to see. I know the Game 7 beatdown is still fresh in our minds, and it was a big, you know, disappointment to go out like that, but the fans also have to keep things in perspective and really reflect on how amazing this season was, especially you consider the fact Danny Granger, Pacers' leading scorer for the last, I don't know how many years, basically didn't play. And this team came within one win of the NBA Finals. So, Chris, what are your thoughts reflecting back on the season? Now that we've had a little time to think about it, I mean, this was, in terms of playoff success, the second, or tied for the second best season the Pacers have had in our lifetime. What are your thoughts?
Well, it was a great year. It was a successful season by, I think, any standard, and I think when it came to an end on Monday night with the lopsided loss in Game 7, I think a lot of fans did a good job of keeping it in perspective because it felt like the beginning of something rather than an end. When you look at the ages on the roster, David West is really the oldest guy at 32, and he's got, you know, three or four more good years left in him, so this is a core group that can make a run in the Eastern Finals. Feels a little bit like the Thunder when they went to the Western Conference Finals in, what was it, 2011, when they lost to Dallas, and they came back the next year and went to the NBA Finals, and they're set up for years of success, and the Pacers are set up for years of success. And the thing that I'll always remember about this season is the locker room, just the camaraderie between these guys. Paul George said everybody on the team got along, and Roy Hibbert said, everybody on the team cared about winning, whereas that wasn't in the case last year. I think he was kind of referring to Dante Jones, but I don't know that for sure. But it was a great locker room, and everybody around the franchise, I think, left this season with nothing but a good feeling. And as Frank Vogel, you know, wrote on the whiteboards in the playoffs, be encouraged. I think everyone, fans, players, coaches, general managers, the owner, Herb Simon, has to be encouraged from this season.
Absolutely, and I love how you talk about the chemistry of the team and moving forward with the core group of guys. As long as we can keep these core guys together, the future looks bright. Let's talk about some of the players individually real quick. I want to begin with Roy Hibbert. He got the max contract, as everybody knows, and guys respond differently to a big contract. You know, some of them relax more, some of them put even more pressure on themselves. And that looked to be the case with Roy early on. You know, he was excellent defensively all year, but offensively he was kind of a train wreck early on. He was shooting under 40% for much of the season. But wow, if people have forgotten about that after the playoffs. Roy averaged 17-10 in the playoffs while shooting 51%. He averaged 22-10 against the Miami Heat. And so, Chris, what were your thoughts on Roy Hibbert this year? And another question I have is, do you think these playoffs could propel him into even more of an offensive force coming in next season?
Well, I'll take that last question first, Tyler, and I do think that they will, because anyone who's around Roy Hibbert knows that confidence is a huge issue with him. If he doesn't have confidence, he's not going to play well. If he does have confidence, he's going to be great. And he had all the confidence in the world in the playoffs. He believed he was the best player on the floor in the Knicks series. He believed he was the best player on the floor in the Miami series, and he might have been right. And I think carrying into next season, he's only going to have the best high of his career to go off of. So I think he'll improve offensively, and a big reason is his wrist injury is not going to be a factor in the early months next season the way it was this last year. He told a national reporter that that was basically, you know, the reason he was missing shots. He couldn't finish tip-ins. And I think his right wrist, his shooting wrist, was just kind of off-center, and they had to treat it for a while until it got better. And they didn't even realize that injury was there for a while. So he was amazing in the playoffs. He was doing stuff I never thought was even possible. Tim Duncan type numbers on a nightly basis. I mean, he had, before Game 7, he had at least 19 points in six straight games. You know, he'd never been a real offensive focal point before in his career. Even in the regular season, he only averaged about 12 points a game. And I think going forward, he's shown that he can be a low-post scorer that you go to on a regular basis, even down the stretch when you need points. And that's a huge thing for the franchise. On top of his outstanding defense, he's worth every penny that the Pacers paid for him.
I agree with you there. And I think moving forward, Roy will probably have better offensive numbers overall. You mentioned the wrist as well, getting better. I don't think he could ever lose confidence again after averaging 22-10 on the biggest stage of his career, you know, the conference finals. I don't think he's ever going to be a 20-10, you know, Jermaine O'Neal type guy as far as the season goes, but I could see him maybe, you know, 14, 15 a game, 9 or 10 boards, and of course playing excellent defense. So very excited for Roy's future. I agree that he was worth every penny. And I'm also really excited, obviously, for the future of Paul George. So we're going to talk about him for a minute. Paul really took off this year. I think the game against the Bulls on the road really started his leap forward, if you will. And a lot of pressure was put on him with the Granger injury, but it was also a blessing in disguise. But what do you think about Paul George's season and his future?
Leaps and bounds, and the potential on that guy is just unlimited. I think defensively he's already nearly at the peak of his power because he can guard anyone in the league at the point guard, small forward, shooting guard positions. He can block shots. He can steal the ball. He can do about anything you want on that end of the floor. So it comes back to the offensive end where I don't think anyone expected him to be able to carry the team in some of those playoff games the way he did. Game 6 against the Knicks, he was just dominant. There's still some areas that he has to improve. His field goal percentage, 42% for the regular season, is not high enough. That needs to get better. And he needs to develop more of a mid-range jump shot. He needs to get better with his ball handling. His turnover rate, I was one of the worst at his position. But all of those things are typically things that young players shore up. It took LeBron James a long time to get that mid-range jump shot, and a lot of young players struggle with turnovers early in their career, especially when Paul George was asked to be, you know, such an offensive creator because the Pacers don't have a true point guard. But man, that guy's going to be really good. He made an All-Star team. He made 13 All-NBA. He was a real candidate for Defensive Player of the Year. And he's as serious a player as you'll find. He doesn't get too high. He doesn't get too low. He really does not brag or make, you know, bold statements about himself. He just goes quietly about his business. And I think he has the demeanor, the talent, the work ethic to be one of the biggest stars that the Pacers franchise has ever seen.
Yeah, one of the cool things for, you know, this team moving forward as a fan of this team is that these guys continue to get better every year. You look at the progress of Paul George and Roy Hibbert, Lance Stephenson's another one. These guys get better every year, and they're very hard workers, and they're very hungry for a championship. And so that's what you want, you know, as a fan of a team moving forward. When it comes to Paul George, I go back to draft night about 3 years ago. You know, I predicted Paul George would be better than Danny Granger. What I didn't know at the time is that Paul could actually have a better career than Reggie Miller. And, you know, before I get criticism for that, I want everyone to remember, you know, the guy's 23, two-way player. He's only going to get better. He's already been within one win of the finals. I'm not saying on the show here that, you know, I'm not predicting that he's going to be the best Pacer to ever play. I'm not predicting he's going to be better than Reggie. But what I am saying is he has a chance to be, which in itself shows he's got one heck of a future. And the Pacers cannot let him leave free agency after next year, restricted free agency, but they need to put themselves in a position to match any offer that he will get, and I think they will do so. But very excited, obviously, for the career and future of Paul George as well as Roy Hibbert. Let's talk about the offseason at this point. The Pacers have some big-time decisions to make. Fans need to realize this is still a small market team that doesn't have a ton of money to spend. Lots of fans are talking about, you know, what free agents they want and who we can get. But realistically, this team won't be able to make major moves. They can still make moves that will help them and could legitimately make them, you know, serious contenders again next season. And everybody in their mom would agree that it all starts with David West. He's the guy that has to be back, or the Pacers would take a major step back. You know, the rest of the starting five is locked in as far as coming back. So we got to bring back David. The next biggest question marks after that that I want to ask you about is Danny Granger, what to do with him and how to fix the bench. And if you would, Chris, give us kind of a rundown on the Pacers' payroll concerns, the chances of bringing David West back, and what are your thoughts about Danny Granger and improving the bench?
One more thought on Paul George while I've got it on my mind as we sort of transition into the offseason, because I think he comes into play later this offseason. The Pacers have, I don't think he's ever going to hit restricted free agency, because the Pacers can do an extension. They have until October 31st is the deadline for Paul to get an extension, and the Pacers can do as many as 5 years, which would keep him as a Pacer through the next six seasons, and he would still, that extension wouldn't kick in until 2014, and that's the great thing about it. So the Pacers would still have Paul George under salary next year for the bargain price of $3.3 million. So I think there's incentive on both the team and the player side to do a massive extension for Paul this summer, and I think you'll see that later after they get done with the West.
That would be
and
nice.
And the draft and everything else, yeah. But I don't think there's any question that David West is going to be back. He wants to be back. The team wants him to be back. And there aren't a lot of other teams that have the salary cap space and the winning combination of players that would even incentivize him to leave. So I think he'll come back. And I think the right move on him is to do a three-year contract. If you have to go a little bit higher on the average annual value, get him for 3 years instead of four, I think it's worth it, because, you know, he's a player who was an injury risk earlier in his career. I know he stayed very healthy in his 2 years with Indiana, but he was an injury risk earlier. So I think you have to be careful and just go for 3 years with West. But I don't think there's any doubt that he'll be back.
Sounds good. What do you think about Danny Granger in that situation? That's a tough one.
It is a tough one. I really expect the Pacers to try and move him, and while I understand both sides, there's some good points and counterpoints that you can make. I think it's the right move, because he's due $14 million next year, and the Pacers can pay that if they play their cards right without going into the luxury tax next season. But after that, once Paul George's extension kicks in, once you deal with Lance's free agency, more hybrid salary, getting higher because of yearly raises. David West's salary will be on the books. I think it gets really hard after next season to keep Danny Granger at the kind of money that he's used to making. And he's only 30 years old. You know, this isn't like it's a guy in the twilight of his career. So for a small market team, I think it makes the most sense to take a veteran asset who does have real trade value and try to get back a young, a bench player, a point guard, some kind of young, controllable asset that you can put on that bench and use as a long-term piece, because the starting lineup is so good. The Pacers just went within a game of the finals, within 48 minutes of the NBA Finals, without Danny Granger. I think it's pretty good evidence that they don't necessarily need him to succeed going forward. And so I'm not sure that he'll be moved. I'm not positive he'll be moved. I wouldn't even venture a percentage. But I definitely think that the Pacers will try, and I think that they should. I think they can win a whole lot of games next year without him.
Yeah, I've said all year, and I think you've been right there with me, that, you know, I thought this would be Danny Granger's last season as a Pacer, even if he was healthy. And it's more of a money thing than anything else. Obviously, you know, Paul George doing what he's doing, and the improvement of Lance Stephenson is big as well. But if the Pacers want to improve this team, they may need to move Danny's contract if he can prove he's healthy this summer, so they can sign West, and so they can go out, you know, and get somebody for the bench. But this decision, it's got to be extremely difficult. You know, we love Danny and what he's done for the franchise. But it's easy for, let's say, the fans to think, you know, well, let's just have the same team, but then you add Danny Granger, let's rock and roll, you know. And that could end up being the case if that's what our front office decides. You know, if they can work it out financially, if they feel like Danny would be healthy, if they feel like he would work well with Paul kind of in this new role, then you have the question of would Lance Stephenson be able to go to the second unit and ignite that second unit, or is he better suited to be, you know, kind of the swing guy in the starting five? But of course, like I said, if Danny's even going to be healthy enough to risk that, bringing him back, putting a lot of stock in him for that much money, and maybe losing him for nothing in return next offseason. But my gut tells me, I don't think he's going to be a Pacer next year. And it's sad to say. I still feel like they're going to look to trade him, go with probably the same starting five, and then try to bring in somebody to ignite that second unit, whether it's a point guard, which they definitely need, or they need a scorer of some kind off the bench. As far as the bench, though, what do you think? I mean, Orlando Johnson, Jan Mahimi, maybe Pendergraft, those guys could be back. But other than that, we really have no idea what the bench is even going to look like next year.
No, we don't. It's a big question mark, and it was a big liability in the playoffs for the second straight season. Same old story, the Jan Mahimi, the Gerald Green stuff, it didn't really work. Orlando Johnson was kind of a nice fit as a second-round pick, and you got nothing out of your first-round pick, Miles Plumlee, because you signed Mahimi, so it wasn't really any use for him. I think it's a difficult plan for this offseason to improve it all in one fell swoop, but you can start with point guard, and I think that's the best way to go out into the free agent market is to look for a point guard, because rookie point guards, the Pacers are drafting at number 23. It's going to be very hard to find a rookie point guard who can come right in, not hurt your defense, and be an NBA-level distributor right away. So and there are some guards out there. I know I've seen Jose Calderon is a free agent. You know, he's always been a real high assist guy. I'm not sure he's a defender that the Pacers would want, but you might have to make some sacrifices to improve that unit. And then it comes down to how the Pacers want to use their mid-level exception. They don't really have any cap space to sign free agents because of David West. Cap hold, the NBA allows you to sign your own free agents and exceed the salary cap to do so, but as a price to that, all of your free agents still count against your team's salary, and David West's salary hold pushes them past the salary cap, and it's not outside free agents. You have to have room under the salary cap to do that. The Pacers won't have any room under the salary cap, but they do have their full mid-level exception. They're likely to have that available, and that's $5.2 million. So they can sign a shooter, they can sign a point guard, they can sign a backup power forward if they don't want Hansbrough or Pendergraft. They can sign one player or a combination of players for that $5.2 million mid-level exception.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. You know, we can talk all day about the statistics of the starters and the bench, you know, the plus minus numbers in the season and especially the playoffs were staggering how much of a drop off the bench had. And really, it's not even when the whole second unit was on the floor. We're talking when one starter would go to the bench and one, you know, bench guy would come in, the numbers would drop off dramatically. So that definitely needs to be addressed. But most important thing is keeping the core together, David West, and then next year, obviously, Paul George. And then from there, you can build around and get creative and try to find cheaper pieces that fill out your team, as a lot of the bigger, you know, good teams over the years have been able to do, you know, to find those X factors. Almost out of time on TY's 20, but I want to just ask you one final question. Yes or no, I'm going to give you a name, and you say yes or no if you think they will be a part of the Pacers organization next year. First one is Larry Bird.
No.
Okay, how about David West?
Absolutely.
And Danny Granger?
No.
How about Tyler Hansbrough?
No.
DJ Augustine?
Absolutely not.
And how about Eastern Conference Championship?
Oh,
on the spot in June.
That's a going to say no. I don't think Miami's quite ready to pack it in yet. I think the Pacers need to get one more dominant scorer to go along with Paul George, whether it's on the bench or it's at shooting guard before they get there.
We'll see. The good thing, though, as fans and as people who cover this team, the chance is definitely there, and the offseason moves that we make in the next couple months will have a lot to do with that. But we're excited, and fans, enjoy this amazing season that we just had. The future is bright, and let's make sure we re-sign David West and keep the fun going. But, Chris, thanks so much for joining us, as always. Again, you can follow Chris at PacersScribe and follow him at IndySportsLegends.com. Thanks so much, man.
Hey, thanks for having me, Tyler.